Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Jehovah, how are my adversaries increased? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there are that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, Jehovah, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cry unto Jehovah with my voice, and he answers me out of his holy hill. An exposition of Psalm 3 from the Treasury of David by Charles Spurgeon. Title: A Psalm of David When He Fled from Absalom His Son. You will remember the sad story of David's flight from his own palace, when in the dead of the night he forded the brook of Kidron and went with a few faithful followers to hide himself for a while from the fury of his rebellious son. Remember that David in this was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He too fled. He too passed over the brook Kidron when his own people were in rebellion against him, and with a feeble band of followers he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He too drank of the brook, by the way, and therefore does he lift up the head. By very many expositors this is entitled the Morning Hymn. May we ever wake with holy confidence in our hearts and a song upon our lips. Verse 1. The poor, broken-hearted father complains of the multitude of his enemies. And if you turn to 2 Samuel 15, verse 12, you will find it written that the conspiracy was strong for the people, increased continually with Absalom, while the troops of David constantly diminished. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Here is a note of exclamation to express a wonder of woe which amazed and perplexed the fugitive father. Alas, I see no limit to my misery, for my troubles are enlarged. There was enough at first to sink me very low, but lo, my enemies multiply. When Absalom, my darling, is in rebellion against me, it is enough to break my heart. But lo, Ahithophel has forsaken me. My faithful counselors have turned their backs on me. Lo, my generals and soldiers have deserted my standard. How are they increased that trouble me? Troubles always come in flocks. Sorrow has a numerous family. Many are they that rise up against me. Their hosts are far superior to mine. Their numbers are too great for my reckoning. Let us here recall to our memory the innumerable hosts which beset our divine Redeemer, the legions of our sins, the armies of fiends, the crowd of bodily pains, the hosts of spiritual sorrows, and all the allies of death and hell set themselves in battle against the Son of Man. Oh, how precious to know and believe that he has routed their hosts and trodden them down in his anger. They who would have troubled us, he has removed into captivity, and those who would have risen up against us, he has laid low. The dragon lost his sting when he dashed it into the soul of Jesus. Verse 2. David complains before his loving God of the worst weapon of his enemies, attacks. In the bitterest drop of his distresses, oh, saith David, many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Some of his distrustful friends said this sorrowfully, but his enemies exultantly boasted of it, and longed to see their words proved by his total destruction. This is the unkindest cut of all, when they declared that his God had forsaken him. Yet David knew in his own conscience that he had given them some ground for this exclamation, for he had committed sin against God in the very light of day. Then they flung his crime with Bathsheba into his face, and they said, Go up, thou bloody man, God has forsaken you and left you. Shimei cursed him and swore at him to his very face, for he was bold because of his backers, since multitudes of the men of Belial thought of David in like fashion. Doubtless, David felt this infernal suggestion to be staggering to his faith. If all the trials which come from heaven, all the temptations which ascend from hell, and all the crosses which arise from earth, could be mixed and pressed together. They would not make a trial so terrible as that which is contained in this verse. It is the most bitter of all afflictions to be led to fear that there is no help for us in God. And yet remember, our most blessed Savior had to endure this in the deepest degree when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew full well what it was to walk in darkness and to see no light. This is a curse of the curse. This is a wormwood mingled with a gall. To be deserted of his Father was worse than to be despised of men. Surely we should love him who suffered the bitterest of temptations and trials for our sake. It will be a delightful and instructive exercise for the loving heart to mark the Lord in his agonies as here portrayed. For there is here, and in very many other psalms, far more of David's Lord than of David himself. Selah. This is a musical pause, the precise meaning of which it is not known. Some think it simply a rest, a pause in the music. Others say it means lift up the strain, sing more loudly, pitch the tune upon a higher key. There is a nobler manner to come, therefore retune your harps. Harp strings soon get out of order, and they need to be screwed up again to their proper tightness, and certainly our harp strings are evermore getting out of tune. Let Selah. Teach us to pray, oh, may my heart in tune be found, like David's harp of solemn sound. At least we may learn that wherever we see Selah, we should look upon it as a note of observation. Let us read the passage which precedes and succeeds it with greater earnestness, for surely there is always something excellent where we are required to rest and pause and meditate, or when we are required to lift up our hearts in grateful song. Selah. Verse 3. Here David avows his confidence in God. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The word in the original signifies more than a shield. It means a buckler round about, a protection which shall surround a man entirely, a shield above, beneath, around, without and within. Oh, what a shield is God for his people! He wards off the fiery darts of Satan from beneath, and the storms of trials from above, while at the same instant he speaks peace to the tempest within the breast. Thou art my glory. David knew that though he was driven from his capital in contempt and scorn, he should yet return in triumph, and by faith he looks upon God as honoring and glorifying him. Oh, for grace to see our future glory amid present shame. Indeed, there is a present glory in our afflictions, if we could but discern it, for it is no mean thing to have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. David was honored when he made the ascent of Olivet, weeping, with his head covered, for he was in all this made like to his Lord. May we learn in this respect to glory in tribulations also, and to lift her up of my head. You shall yet exalt me. Though I hang my head in sorrow, I shall very soon lift it up in joy and thanksgiving. What a divine trio of mercies is contained in this verse. Defense for the defenseless, glory for the despised, and joy for the comfortless. Verily, we may well say, there is none like the God of Jeshurun. Verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Why does he say, with my voice? Surely silent prayers are heard. Yes, but good men often find that, even in secret, they pray better aloud than they do when they utter no vocal sound. Perhaps also David would think thus, my cruel enemies clamor against me. They lift up their voices, and behold, I lift up mine, and my cry outsoars them all. They clamor, but the cry of my voice in great distress pierces the very skies, and is louder and stronger than all their tumult. For there is one in the sanctuary who hearkens to me from the seventh heaven, and he has heard me out of his holy hill. Answers to prayer are sweet cordials for the soul. We need not fear a frowning world, while we rejoice in a prayer hearing God. Here stands another Selah. Rest a while, O tried believer, and change the strain to a softer air. Verse 5, David's faith enabled him to lie down. Anxiety would certainly have kept him on tiptoe watching for an enemy. Yea, he was able to sleep. To sleep in the midst of trouble, surrounded by foes. So he gives his beloved sleep. There is a sleep of presumption. God deliver us from it. There is a sleep of holy confidence. God help us so to close our eyes. But David said he awoke also. Some sleep, the sleep of death. But he, though exposed to many enemies, reclined his head on the bosom of his God, slept happily beneath a wing of providence and sweet security, and then awoke in safety. For the Lord sustained me. The sweet influence of the Pleiades of promise shone upon the sleeper, and he awoke conscious that the Lord had preserved him. An excellent divine has well remarked, quote, "This quietude of a man's heart by faith in God is a higher sort of work than the natural resolution of manly courage, for it is a gracious operation of God's Holy Spirit, upholding a man above nature, and therefore the Lord must have all the glory of it." Verse 6. Buckling on a harness for the day's battle, our hero sings, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." Observe that he does not attempt to underestimate the number or wisdom of his enemies. He reckons them at tens of thousands, and he views them as cunning huntsmen chasing him with cruel skill. Yet he doesn't tremble, but looking his foeman in the face, he is ready for the battle. There may be no way of escape. They may hem me in as a deer or surrounded by a circle of hunters. They may surround me on every side, but in the name of God I will dash through them, or if I remain in the midst of them, yet they shall not hurt me. I shall be free in my very prison. But David is too wise to venture to the battle without prayer. He therefore betakes himself to his knees and cries aloud to Jehovah. Verse 7. His only hope is in his God, but that is so strong a confidence that he feels the Lord has but to arise and he is saved. It is enough for the Lord to stand up, and all is well. He compares his enemies to wild beasts, and he declares that God has broken their jaws so that they could not injure him. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Or else he alludes to the peculiar temptations to which he was then exposed. They had spoken against him. God, therefore, has smitten them upon the cheek bone. They seemed as if they would devour him with their mouths. God has broken their teeth, and let them say what they will, their toothless jaws shall not be able to devour him. Rejoice, O believer. Thou hast to do with a dragon whose head is broken, and with enemies whose teeth are dashed from their jaws. Verse 8. This verse contains the sum and substance of Calvinistic doctrine. Search Scripture through, and you must, if you read it with a candid mind, be persuaded that the doctrine of salvation by grace alone is a great doctrine of the Word of God. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is a point concerning which we are daily fighting. Our opponents say, salvation belongs to the free will of man, if not to man's merit, yet at least to his will. But we hold and teach that salvation from first to last, in every iota of it, belongs to the Most High God. It is God that chooses his people. He calls them by his grace. He quickens them by his Spirit, and keeps them by his power. It is not of man, neither by man, not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. May we all learn this truth experimentally, for our proud flesh and blood will never permit us to learn it in any other way. In the last sentence, the peculiarity and specialty of salvation are plainly stated. Thy blessing is upon thy people, neither upon Egypt, nor upon Tyre, nor upon Nineveh. Your blessing is upon your chosen, your blood-bought, your everlasting beloved people. Selah. Lift up your hearts and pause and meditate upon this doctrine. Your blessing is upon your people. Divine, discriminating, distinguishing, eternal, infinite, immutable love is a subject for constant adoration. Pause, my soul, at this Selah, and consider your own interest in the salvation of God. And if by humble faith you are enabled to see Jesus as yours, by his own free gift of himself to you, if this greatest of all blessings be upon you, rise up and sing. Rise, my soul, adore and wonder. Ask why such love to me, grace has put me in the number of the Savior's family. Alleluia, thanks eternal thanks to thee.